There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Book News, your latest literary roundup.
We mentioned that there's some stuff that you can actually do before March. So if you want to get kind of an event fix or want to go see or do something, there's something coming up that we mentioned earlier in the show that I'd like you to reiterate. If you
can. I can indeed do
it's
that.
It's to do with donuts.
To do with, sort of, ish. Nigel Travis is the executive chairman of Dunkin' Brands. And he's
see, to do with donuts.
Yes, okay. There may not be donuts there. Let's not build up people's hopes. He's in Dubai for various reasons, but one of them, the most important one, obviously, is that he's going to give a talk on November the 11th. So he has written a book called The Challenge Culture, Why the Most Successful Organisations Run on Pushback. And pushback basically is when people question things. People within an organisation, whatever their role, the newest recruit, the CEO, can question what's happening. And he believes that this is a great thing to encourage, because otherwise, how do you get new ideas? How do organisations improve? So if you want to hear more about that, he's going to speak about why businesses need to be more adaptable. And he'll be here on the 11th of November at Dubai World Trade Centre Club. And you can get tickets from the elfdubai.org website. 30 dirhams or absolute bargain, 100 dirhams. And for 100 dirhams, you also get the book at a vastly reduced price, and he'll sign it for you on the night.
So that's something that's happening on Sunday, the 11th of November at 7 o'clock. Now, this is an ongoing thing that you can do. You can answer this question. It's a chance to win a great prize. It's which is better, fact or fiction? You should get thinking about your answer to that question, because there is something called the Costa Debate, which is now open for entries. So basically, emiratelitfest.com for more information, and you go to the website and you tell us your view in Arabic or English in not more than 300 words, whether you think fact or fiction is better, and see if you can craft the winning argument. This is one prize you definitely want to win. It's 10,000 dirhams Danata travel voucher, valid for 1 year. And you get a year's supply of free coffee as well. So emiratelitfest.com for more information about that. And now on to some international news. Now, I think everyone has been talking about this because it's just a completely bonkers story. Don't you just hate it when someone spoils the ending of a book that you are reading? Wouldn't it be awful if they did that relentlessly and on purpose? How do you think you'd react to that?
I'd be really quite cross, I feel.
Would you be cross enough to stab somebody?
I'm not sure. I can see that given certain circumstances, the element of violence might enter my thoughts.
It might enter your thoughts, but hopefully it wouldn't actually spill over into action.
Hopefully not.
Well, I'm slightly scared now. Well, an electrical engineer named Sergei Savitsky thought that it was grounds for stabbing. That is what has happened. 54-year-old electrical engineer Sergei Savitsky allegedly stabbed Oleg Belogozov, a 52-year-old welder, in the chest multiple times because he spoiled the endings of the books that he was reading. And they were both working on a remote station in an Antarctic island doing research. Now, it's reportedly he was also, there was some other stuff going on as well. So they'd been
under
together,
the influence.
Yes, exactly. And it was kind of the last straw, the spoiling the endings of the books as well. There was other stuff going on as well. So there was a lot of tension, and it wasn't helped by the fact that he kept spoiling the endings to all the books that he was reading. They were avid readers, and they used the written word to pass time on the bottom of the world, apparently. But there's not an awful lot to do, is there? Other than, did you read about what they had on the station?
What I read was that they had the choice of two Russian TV channels, the gym and the research library. So when it says the research library, I'm assuming that they were reading fiction. I mean, I do have this sort of maybe thought that they've been reading about Fermat's Last Theorem or something, so that the plot ending was that one of them gave the theorem away. I'm not sure. I'd love to know what they were reading.
I know. That's not been reported.
No, and why didn't the other guy just get a head start and read books that the other one hadn't? There's a lot more to this, but it's such a good story, and I can see how, you know, annoying it would be to constantly have somebody, you know, probably when you're about 20 pages from the end, to say, do you know what happened?
I'd like to introduce Fiona DeVivier, who's here to review Leanne Moriarty's book in just a little while when we come back in a few minutes. But she's here. She's lurking. Do you have opinions on this?
I can't wait to see what the movie's going to be like.
Exactly. This is begging to be made into a film, Netflix series. But nobody is reporting
what they're reading.
The things that we want to know the answers to on Talking of Books. What were they reading? Yeah. Why didn't they, you know, maybe read different books and not tell the other person?
It's very.
I think he needs a Kindle. That's what he needs.
Maybe he was sort of picking up the books, and then as he picked up the book, the other guy went, "Oh, I wouldn't read that. They all die at the end."
I'm kind of impressed by how well read the other guy is.
Maybe just read the final chapter.
I did used to think it was really funny when I was at university. The cinema that we had, it was really small because I went to St Andrews, tiny town. And so every time the movie started, there was a huge queue of people outside the building waiting to come in. So I used to walk past the queue coming out of the cinema and fake the loud conversation about the ending of the movie, which I used to find really amusing.
That's cool.
And the people in the queue did not.
Well, you're lucky, can I say?
I don't think I ever actually said the truth.
Oh, okay.
So I sort of faked it.
Right. Okay.
You know, like, oh, they all die or something. But yeah, I did used to find that very amusing when I was 20.
Okay.
I'm not joking. I would find it amusing now. Yeah, I would find it amusing
now. At least you're not actually ruining the ending.
No.
I do kind of see the joy in that.
Yeah. And I certainly wouldn't antagonize someone or my solo companion in an Antarctic research trip.
Well, that's the thing that a lot of people were saying is that Antarctica and these kind of situations, they have a history of tension and anger. I mean, there have been stories about self-inflicted poisonings, a doctor burning down his research station as a way to avoid the winter, a disagreement that escalated into a hammer fight in 1996, a person becoming so violent that they had to be locked in a storage locker for months. This isn't new, although Savitsky is thought to be the first man charged with attempted murder in Antarctica's history.
That's right, he didn't actually die, did he?
He attempted murder. Yeah, which is why we're being so cavalier about this. On the show, I suppose.
There are some crimes, you know, maybe they're worth it.
So yeah, that's my news story today. But you have a slightly more uplifting one.
I
feel like we got a lot of mileage out of that.
Slightly going to warm your heart a little more than that one did, I hope. So Southampton in the UK has a bookshop, an independent bookshop, which in itself now is something to be proud of and to shout about and to celebrate. But October Books is a radical bookshop named after the Russian Revolution, run as a cooperative, and their rent was going up and up and up, and they could no longer afford to stay in the premises. So they put out a call, firstly to raise funds to buy a new building, and with the help of some loans and some public support, they managed to do that. And then they put out a call for people to help them move the books, because I know, I've moved a lot of books in my life. They are pretty heavy and unwieldy and a pain to pack and unpack. So they had 250 people who formed a human chain from the old premises to the new. And they literally passed the books along or six at a time. So that there are photos of all these people just lining the high street in Southampton, passing the books along, and they ended up in the new bookshop in the premises, which is an old bank building. And apparently the books are now housed in the vault. So the local people said that the bookshop holds a special place in their hearts. It's been there since 1977. They didn't want to see it go. So I think that's a really nice, heartwarming story, and I love that.
Do we know how long it took?
No, I don't actually. No. I would imagine you'd probably do it in a day. And thanks to Kevin Hasler for sending us that story.
And on that note, I forgot to mention earlier, a good time to mention that the old library is reopening.
Yes.
And they have an official opening date now. So the old library is going to be reopening on the 11th of November, also Sunday.
Yeah.
Timings will remain the same. So I'm just reading the information now. Bear with me. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. They're going to have regular story time session on the 11th of November at 10:30. Location, it's now in the Golden Diamond Park Building 7 next to Just Kidding. So that's amazing. The old library is back in business.
Yep, such a good story.
Yep. Something a little bit fun for you. So also on the subject of the guy who stabbed his... I just want to go back to this because I wonder, and I want you to text in on 4001, what you think are the biggest sins you can commit as a reader.
Ooh.
So telling people spoilers, you know, before they finished reading it. Some people really don't like when you fold down pages. I'm very guilty of that. What do you think is unforgivable in the world of bookworms and reading? Let us know on 4001 and get creative.
Controversial.
Yeah. So this story is about predictive text. It's nothing new. I think it was a couple of months ago, but it completely passed me by. And this is courtesy of electriclit.com. Famous first lines of novels written by your phone. What do you think would happen if you let loose famous opening lines from literature on predictive text?
So this is when you type it into Google and it comes up with, do you mean?
When you're typing on your phone. So
your sentient phone tries to finish your sentence for you.
It corrects them for you.
Yes. So this is what happens when predictive text is applied to famous classic literature. And there are some doozies in here. Okay. It was a pleasure to burn my hair today, but it's so much work. A famous one here, Lolita, light of my life, eat some cereal.
Lolita probably could do with eating some cereal. I feel
she
like
probably
that could have worked.
Ugh, yeah. Lolita. That would have solved everything, just eating some cereal. Happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is in a big box. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were supposed to be in the middle of a day of hell. If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to know is that you can get your own place for a while and get a new pair of jeans. And I read this one out earlier, and remember, you can still text in on 4001 if you know the novel that the original line is from. Many years later, as he faced the firing squad, Colonel Aureliano Buendía had an opportunity to win the game. And this one, obviously, from To Kill a Mockingbird, but predictive text has ruined it. When he was nearly 13, my brother Jem got his phone and he snapped a pic of you and the girls. And I'm sorry if it seems like you don't want a relationship.
What? I'm not going to lie, but I feel like that's a window into writing an updated version of To Kill a Mockingbird.
I absolutely
agree. In the land of social media.
So, yeah, they are very funny. And you should check out more because there are so many.
Yeah, that's actually quite amusing.
I think my favourite, though, is Lolita, light of my life, eat some cereal.
The answer to everything.
Excellent advice. There's not much cereal can't fix.
No.
What do you think is, you know, spoilers are awful, mm-hmm. but spoilers aside, what's kind of the worst thing that a reader could do?
I'm not on board with people that read the, some people like pick up a book and they'll read the ending, the last chapter before they start the book.
I've met quite a few people who do that recently.
Yeah. I'm one of those people who really loves a book and I like books to look like they're read. So I reread books all the time, but all of my books have bent spines and, you know, bent over page. I'm a page folder. I'll put it down, face sort of out. And whereas my brother reads books like, you know, he kind of has them like a triangle right in his face. He hates the spine. I'm not allowed to borrow his books, basically. But yes, no, I like them to look like they've been read, weathered.
What about you?
I am an ardent non-turner at the page corner.
Sorry. We're going to have a beat down.
Yeah. But bear in mind, I worked as a librarian for 30 years. And there is nothing more damaging to a library book. So I have an absolute aversion to turning down. I'm sorry. I do feel quite strongly about that. And really? Thankfully there are no
I would never do it in somebody
in
else's book.
Neither would I. Okay. No. Only in my own, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love a bookmark, but I lose them.
Exactly. Yeah. I have so many. I think I get them every year at Christmas and I absolutely love them. I've got some really quirky ones, but they're never to hand when I need them. And I'm always reading about 50 books at once.
Yeah. If I'm reading someone else's book, which happens because I love to borrow books, I steal them. And if I go to someone's house, the first thing I do is look at their books and go, right, what can I take? But, you know, I'll just use whatever's handy. So there's like receipts, there's scraps, there's Post-its. But Post-its get lost,
sock.
It's bad. That's quite impressive, actually, yeah.
I could tell you about some of the awful things that we found as bookmarks in library books that we returned, but probably I won't.
Oh, no. Are you going to tell us that off air?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have a guess.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.